Today on Locked On Red Wings, would Kyle Connor make a good trade target for the Detroit Red Wings, and what would it take to get him here?
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I'm a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's the host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. Those Tigers just keep on rolling, don't they, Scotty?
They do.
They absolutely do. And today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Locked On NHL for $20 off your first purchase. Now, Scotty, things are set. Draft lottery has happened. We know the Red Wings for sure are picking ninth, although there's one draft pick that's still up in the air, whether or not we'll be getting that 17th or 18th, depending on if the Panthers move on to the conference finals, which, I mean, up 3-0 on the Toronto Maple Leafs. It looks like they probably will, knock on wood, but 3-0 comebacks aren't very common. But that's not the point. The point here being is we know what the Red Wings assets are at this point. We know where the value is. And so, given that the ninth overall pick, granted a deep, deep, deep draft this year, it's the ninth overall pick. And the Red Wings swung and they missed on Bedard and Fantilli. They're not even going to get Matvei. They're not going to get Carlson either. So it's they're sitting in a place right now where they can draft another guy who usually might go 1-5 or maybe, let's be honest, 3-7 in a normal year. That's going to be sitting there at 10 because of the deep, deep draft. Or they could take this tremendous amount of assets they have, that being a two firsts this year, three consecutive seconds this year, as well as they have two firsts next year as well. So they have a lot of draft capital. Is it possible, and we've talked about this a lot, to use that assets to acquire a top-end talent to move the needle now instead of waiting for another guy to develop? Which is why today, Scotty, we're going to talk about Kyle Connor. This is a player that was first put on our radar by Prashanth Iyer back when we had him do a prospect profile with us. And this is a guy that ever since he's put this guy on our radar, Scotty, we've been kind of been enamored with. I think enamored is a good word, where we look at everything around him and he just seems like he would be a perfect fit for where the Red Wings are now. Scotty, when it comes to Kyle Connor, a guy who has scored 47 goals in one season of his career and has scored 30 or more four other times, as well as has gotten a career high of 93 points, 80 points this year, do you think that Kyle Connor would be a good target for the Red Wings to look at? And would he move the needle substantially forward for the Detroit Red Wings?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's I don't want to call it a softball, but like I feel like you'll be pressed to find too many people who would say no to that. I think the problem is honestly the opposite extreme, in the sense that everyone should want Kyle Connor. The free agency market, we've talked about a few times, is not very strong this offseason. This is a weaker free agent class, which opens the door for trades. And when you have a team like Winnipeg, who, while they haven't outright said, hey, we're trading away all of our biggest assets and kind of blowing this thing up, the writing's kind of on the wall. And everyone's pretty well aware that that's what's happening. Their head coach literally just flat out said, our best players aren't as good as other teams' best players, like in the middle of a postseason run. So I think the writing is kind of on the wall there. And if you talk to fan bases, like other fan bases outside of the Red Wings, everyone already has this dude triple circled because everyone has kept tabs and is well aware of what is happening over in Winnipeg. So I don't think the problem is this actually a good get for the Wings? I think the only problem is a potential just, I've said this a lot of times on this show. I feel like I say it a million times every offseason. Talent does not directly determine trade value. Market determines trade value. And I feel like Kyle Connor is the type of player where, especially in this offseason specifically, given what else is going to be available, he could just have an insanely competitive market to drive potentially that price up.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're looking at guy, what this team needs, right? What this Red Wings team needs is it needs a pure goal scorer. It needs a lot of things, but it needs a pure goal scorer first and foremost. And Kyle Connor is probably, and when we say best candidate, a lot of it comes down to the fact that look at everything regarding his contract, which is why everyone's looking at him, right? Kyle Connor, for one, he's 26 years old. So he's the same age as Dylan Larkin. He's already on a long-term extension. He has 3 years remaining after this season at $7 million a season, which is not a lot for a guy who's proven to at least be, he got 93 points last year with 47 goals and 80 points this year with 31 goals. So he'd automatically slot in as your highest production forward, and he's guaranteed to have over 30 goals in a single season. The only season, the only year in the past 6 years he has not scored over 30 goals is a season where he missed time with 56 games. I'm sorry, he didn't even miss time. That was a shortened COVID season. I always forget those years were shortened. I always just assume guys got injured. But it was a shortened COVID season where they only played 56 games. He still had 26 goals in that season with 50 points. So, I mean, that's nearly a point per game that year as well. So Kyle Connor is immediately going to be that winger who can put pucks in the back of the net. He's still in the prime of his career with tenure left, and he doesn't have a no trade clause. So even if he didn't want to come here, which I think he would because he's a Michigan native, he doesn't have a choice. It's whatever Winnipeg thinks is best. And I do genuinely think that Winnipeg is on the verge of blowing things up here. I mean, there's a dichotomy in the locker room. The coach doesn't like the players and the players don't like the coach. And I mean, they've been on a verge of blowing things up for a while now. And it seems like with the Red Wings having, the Red Wings are going to have the fourth most cap space going into the off season. They're going to have a little over $30 million of cap space going into the off season. And they have all this draft capital. They seem like such a perfect fit for a team looking to take that next step forward to go out there and get this guy. Now, the question becomes, Scotty, what do you have to give up to get this guy? And that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, which is kind of like what I alluded to a little bit during my little rambling there, was like the market is going to be large for him. Like, unless Toronto also just goes, well, this team clearly ain't cutting it. And even though we have a year of Matthews left, we don't even care. We're just blowing this up now. Unless that happens, like, the pieces and assets on Winnipeg are probably going to be the most valuable assets in the entire offseason, free agency included. Like, there's a legitimate argument for that. So, you know, if you're a team with salary cap and you'd rather just spend the money then give up, young controllable assets for a player. Obviously, that's a decision that every team is going to have to make. But I don't want to make it sound like there's literally no one on the free agency market. It's not the worst free agency of all time or anything. There are some names out there for sure. But I feel like in this offseason specifically, if Winnipeg does lean that direction, again, market determines value, and I feel like he's going to have a pretty darn big market. And if you talk to other fan bases and people that cover other teams, all of them want Kyle Connor as well. It's not like the Detroit Red Wings fans like invented that angle. Like, so there's about 20 other hockey teams that are looking at what they can get rid of to acquire Connor as well.
Well, and then so the thing, too, about having him, though, if you do go out there and acquire him, and in segment two, we'll break down possibly what he could command on the market. It's not just about immediately making the top line better, because he's a left winger, and I know you're bogged in left wingers right now, but you don't pass up on a talent that's going to put pucks in the back of net, which you struggled to do, especially when he would become the best production player on your team immediately. It's about that trickle down, right? We talk about that. We talk about it all the time, that the trickle down production, because then you're slotting guys like David Perron no longer is going to be expected to play top line winger. You can put him down on the second line. And so it just moves everyone down another line to make those lines that much better. And in the meantime, you have a guy with tenure left at a decent cap hit for the way he's producing. With the cap going up, it just seems to make so much sense. And being a Michigan native, no trade clause, he just seems such a perfect fit for the Detroit Red Wings, a team in transition to go out there, because he's going to be better. Scott, I know you said you can, a team with as much cap space as the Wings do could just go out there and spend in the free agency. He's going to be better than any free agent they could get, because it's a weak free agent class. Yeah. So when we come
to the like 7 years as a rookie, right?
Yes.
Contract. Wasn't he one of those?
Yes, he was. He signed after the third year of his ELC, his extension kicked in. I don't exactly remember what year in his ELC he signed that extension, but that was at the beginning of the 20 season.
1920 or 2021?
1920.
Yeah, 1920. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what he could possibly command on the open market. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Indeed. There is no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and there's that hiring platform you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. They streamline hiring with powerful tools that can find you matched candidates. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job descriptions the moment they sponsor a job, according to U.S. data. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring platform, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to TalentNest 2019. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring right now with $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Segment 2, Locked On Red Wings podcast. Scotty and I are talking about, you know, the benefits of bringing Kyle Connor into the fold here with the Detroit Red Wings. And I mean, the benefits are they're there for themselves, right? I mean, we talked about it, his goal scoring, his assists, his points, like it's all there. He is the pure goal scorer that the Detroit Red Wings need, but that always comes at a cost, and he doesn't come for free. And with his age and with how many years are left on his contract, let's be honest, if he continues to produce at this pace, is a pretty team-friendly deal, getting paid less than what Dylan Larkin is getting paid to produce more points. The question becomes, what is he worth to the Winnipeg? What are they asking for in return for Kyle Connor? And, you know, these types of conversations always start with draft picks. And Scotty, I don't know where you feel that this starts, but I think that the conversation starts with first round pick, just which first round pick and what year.
Yeah, for sure. And the interesting thing to remember is, like, if you go with future firsts, like, you're going to assume that the Wings are going to get better, which means that that first round pick's not going to be like that high a pick or a lottery pick or whatnot. I think that, like, you have two firsts. I find it hard to believe that the Wings would be like really pressed to get rid of 9. Like, they have 2 firsts. They can still offer you a decent first round pick. I find it hard to believe that they would really just, like, you know, like, need to give up 9 to get him. But I agree with you. I think that's definitely, like, and pretty obviously the starting point.
Yeah, it's a tough one too, because I mean, we talk about value, right? And this is supposedly, or not supposedly, but assumedly, the best pick the Red Wings are going to have from here on out if they continue to improve, right? 9th overall, next year they're going to get better. And like you said, that first round pick next year is going to be in the teens. So I could see Winnipeg asking for 9th overall. And with the fact that the Red Wings do also have 2 firsts next year, and the 17th or 18th overall pick this year, depending on what happens with Florida, I could see them being willing to part with it. Of course, it would always take, you'd have to ask the question, what else would they want as well? Because then that changes what pick you're willing to give up. In an ideal world, you're giving up the 17th or the 18th overall pick for Kyle Connor and, you know, maybe one other pick and a player. I think that is, that's a reasonable value. But if it's that ninth overall, that makes that second pick lower or worse. Yeah. And it makes the player they're asking for back, you know, a lower tier. And so it becomes that question of, would you rather give up a better prospect and a worse pick, or a better pick and a worse prospect? And I think I might even be on the side of better pick, worse prospect. I'm not really sure, man. It's a tough one for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, timing is a big thing with not only this one, not only with Kyle Connor as a player, but with what we'd be giving up as well, right? Like, he obviously still has, what, 3 years left on his current deal. So you're getting somebody, like, far from a rental. You know, we've talked about that. But I think as far as what we'd give up, like, that's also, like, you have to look at the timing of everything, right? Like, are you going to get rid of a prospect that's still, like, years away? Like, that you might really like and that you think is that you're really high on, but it's still, like, years away from making the NHL? Or are you getting rid of a borderline NHL-ready prospect? And or just, like, a young player currently on the team? I mean, the Wings have several, you know, like, close to rookie, like, ELC guys on the NHL roster as well. So it there's a lot of, like, back and forth of not only the what Winnipeg is trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish by getting rid of him, you know, get younger, get better, whatever. It depends on how much younger, but it's also, like, the timing for the Wings is really interesting as well for that same reason.
So let me just throw out a hypothetical, and you can tell me if it's too much for Connor, not enough for Connor, or maybe just right. So I'll say this: ninth overall pick. You keep your 18 or your 17. You have your 3 second round picks. Jonathan Berggren as a top six potential winger going back their way. And then, you know what? As for an additional pick, should I have to give up one of those second round picks? You have three in a row. I mean, I'm more than comfortable giving up one of those second round picks this year or a second round pick next year. Do you think a first this year, Jonathan Berggren, and a second this year or next year is enough?
I think that's close. I would lean on the side of a little bit more that we would have to give up, but I think that's a really, really good starting point. Like,
I think the ninth overall is a good starting point.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, obviously those are two great assets in the first round pick, and then seconds aren't for nothing either. And then Berggren is a guy, as you said, that is top six potential, probably
middle six already.
Middle
reality.
Six. You know, it's just a matter of whether he's going to be more solidified on the second line or the third, but can really kind of, especially if there's a team like tearing it down, you know, get some playing time under him and can maybe take some big steps forward. So I think that's a good starting point. Like I said, I think that there's I've talked about it a lot already and a lot last offseason as well, but the market for him is just going to be so competitive that I think of, is another team willing to give more than that? And I would say probably yes, but I'm not sure how much more. I think you're probably close.
Could you make this trade work without giving up one of your blue chips? And I when I say blue chips, I guess I should expand that from obviously Edvinson, Casper, but also obviously Sider is untouchable, but Raymond as well. Like, can you make this trade happen without giving up one of those four? And I think it's possible, but then I think you're going to be giving up, and I think it's fine, but I think you're going to be giving up a little bit more trade value wise, but that's perfect, or not trade value, draft value wise, but I think that's perfectly acceptable. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'd be perfectly comfortable giving, you know, your 17th overall pick and all three of those seconds for Kyle Connor. But I understand that Winnipeg probably will want a young guy back in return.
Yeah,
so they'd probably go
at some point. Yeah.
They'd probably, would you do that 17th or 18th, two of those seconds, including yours, and the other one can be whatever one you want, and Jonathan Berggren? Or do you think it's just, you think the hang up here is the player? Do you think then you want another player instead?
Yeah, I think the hang up might be, and it might not be like you have to give someone better than Berggren either. It might be like you
just
have to give
second body
Berggren and another body as well. It might, and I'm not sure there's anybody on the NHL roster that really to be added to Berggren. Like there's someone, if you remove Berggren and you want to throw somebody else out there, you could probably, you know, start over the entire thing. But if it was him, and this is not like advocating for Berggren to get traded either. This is just
trying to find the value,
you know, who we picked for this starting point. But I think that it would probably have to be him, another body, and it's not going to be like I don't think the Wings are going to give up like a second, like highly touted prospect with that though.
What about Berggren, Albert Johansson? Because you have a ton of left-handed defenseman prospects. I don't know if they're going to be looking for a D-man, but just throwing it out there. Left-handed defenseman prospect. And then because you gave them a guy going into his sophomore season who has shown a lot of potential, a prospect who has, I would say middle pair top ceiling, like not top pair, but middle pair ceiling. Could you get away with one of your seconds this year and maybe a second next year? Could you get away with not doing a first at all? Do you think a first is still necessary? Because I'm also okay with throwing in either of your firsts next year, but I'm not comfortable giving up multiple firsts and like a blue chip prospect.
Yeah, right.
It has to be some combination.
Yeah. I think I really am not sure it's going to be possible to do without giving up a first, whether that's 9-18, or even you just say, you know, forget it and just do a first rounder next year. I don't know, but I think you're going to be pressed.
Okay, then
we got a first for Filip Hronek. Like,
that's true. So 18, let's say 18, Berggren, Johansson, and was second this year.
Sure.
Okay. I think that's getting a lot closer. Now, I understand that as Red Wings fans, we're probably homerish and they'll probably want more value. But at the same time, you got to draw the line in the sand somewhere as a Red Wings fan. I think that I know I posted that poll on Twitter. Like, it was kind of like a gun to your head situation, which one you would deal. But Kyle Connor as a winger also, I know the team, the Red Wings need a genuine goal scorer, and he is that. But as a winger, he's not that guy you're willing to trade a Raymond. You're never going to be willing to trade a Sider.
Sider's never happened.
Edvinson or a Casper. Like, he's not that guy. If you're going to trade one of those guys, it would have to be for like a all-star center.
Sure.
So I think that Connor's not really fit for one of those four guys, but like a tier down prospect, a first, and a couple other picks. I think that's fair, but you know, we're homers. So who knows what we actually think is appropriate.
Sure. Yeah. I'm with it.
All right. So let us know in the comments, obviously, guys, and we'll keep talking here in segment three, but let us know in the comments what you think of that proposed trade. And if you guys like it, hate it, not enough, too much, and let us know what you guys think will make the trade get done. And don't propose Filip Zadina, guys. He does not have value to the rest of the league. I'm sorry. I love him. I love Filip Zadina to death. But if you, Red Wings fans don't have a lot of value in him, just imagine what they think about him across the league. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation in segment three, talking about a little bit of get a little bit deeper into the Kyle Connor conversation. We talked a lot about his space stats, but we didn't talk a lot about his hockey player card, his defensive game, his games of goals above replacement, expected goals for. We'll get into the deep delve stuff in segment three. So stay tuned to Lockdown Red Wings. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Game Time. Game Time is the best place for buying tickets online. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals as well. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee, you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. But buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress on Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Segment 3, Locked On Red Wings podcast. Scotty and I are talking about a potential trade for Kyle Connor. I feel like I usually talk about my advanced analytics. I didn't mention it this time. He's above 50% expected goals, 4%.
You didn't really talk about his stats much at all.
Well, I just mentioned his base stats, you know?
Yeah.
His advanced analytically wise, he is, let me pull up his player card. And so this is a point of contention, I feel like, given what this team is trying to become, that people are going to point out as like he doesn't fit because he is he is below a replacement level player when it comes to even strength defense.
Yeah.
But the impact that he has offensively, he's so far and above a replacement level player offensively that it more than evens out the type of defense, which is funny because shorthanded defense he's actually not that bad at, even though it's a small sample size, only 31 shorthanded minutes this year. But his even strength offense so heavily outweighs the negatives he brings defensively that he's a 70th percentile forward, 82 percentile offense alone. It's just,
yeah,
but well, I know because this team's trying to become a defensive oriented team that might be something that people look at in terms of like why he wouldn't fit.
For sure.
Everything else checks.
The new system in place will help that a little bit. Like this is a I would say that the defensive system that Lalonde implemented like objectively worked year one, especially there when the team was streaking in the middle of the season. So like I think that might help a little bit, but you and I, at least, and again, we, you know, unfortunately, we can't have a show with like thousands of people all voicing their opinion at the same time.
See, unfortunately?
Yeah.
No, fortunately, we cannot do it with thousands of people screaming at us at the same time. What are you talking about?
Yes. Whatever. Yeah, sure. I'm saying that everybody has a different opinion on what this team's biggest need is. The Red Wings, you and I agree, their biggest need at the moment is a goal scorer, a high-end point producer, a high-end goal scorer. And if you believe in the Lalonde defensive system, I think you should probably be willing to take a chance. It's not even a chance. Like, this guy's going to put up 95 points. Like, chance makes it sound like there's a huge risk involved. Like, if he's healthy, he's going to be one of the highest point producers in the entire conference. Like,
his low bar, his bottom of the barrel production is point per game. That's
correct.
A minimum.
Yeah, that's the baseline. You're going to have 2 point a game players, like, by adding him on the team. Like, so I don't want to make it sound like this is, like, risky, but I'm just saying that if you really believe in this, the defensive system Lalonde implemented, then a slight, like, not stellar report card defensively shouldn't scare you away from adding this team's true biggest need.
Well, I completely agree. And you know what? You're also trading for a pure goal scorer. So there, when you trade for a guy whose mentality is to score goals, you're going to sacrifice defense. That's just how it is. And you can't lose if you're putting pucks in the back of the net, right? Like,
right.
If you outscore the opponent, you're going to win. And even with that, even with the fact, again, his offense so heavily weighed his defense that it was such a positive asset. And to the point that relative to his teammates, he was a 10% relative expected goals for percentage. So he provided, when he was on the ice, the team was creating more scoring chances for than was getting against. So even if he's a below replacement level defensively, he's so far above and beyond replacement level offensively that he's providing 10% more
right
quality shot attempts across a season when he's on the ice than when he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he instantly becomes your biggest offensive. You would be trading for a player who the second the trade is finalized is your best point producer and weapon offensively the second the trade went through.
He's potent. He's young. He's on a affordable contract. He's making less than Larkin is for three more years.
And he's a Michigan man.
And he's a Michigan man, which doesn't matter, but people love that. So I think that of anyone we could talk about this offseason, he might be, and again, credit to Prashant Thayer for bringing this guy up to us, he might be the best fit. He's the third best player on their team, on the Winnipeg's team, at expected goals for percentage relative. The third best. There's only two players on their team that were better relative, or basically better on the ice, better attributes on the ice than when they were off the ice. And that was Brendan Dillon and John Morrissey. So it's for me, it's straightforward. It's obvious.
I do not disagree. It really, for me, just comes down to is the market going to cause his price to get too high? Is really the only question for me. But obviously adding that, every great team has these pivotal moments when you're exiting a rebuild, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about how this is the most important offseason in recent memory for the Wings, certainly the most important in Yzerman's tenure as GM. And it's because a lot of rebuilds hit this point and they bottom out and then they come back up. And then right at the point where they could be contenders again, they go back down and they just do this. And you have to make the right decisions, the key vital decisions to break through that and truly become a contender. And this is a gutsy one that very much could put the Wings in that conversation.
Oh, and by the way, those numbers I was rattling off were for the playoffs. So not even the regular season. So yeah, he stepped up to the plate in the playoffs more than he did in the regular season, which is a good thing. He was a playoff performer for a team that got ousted in the first round pretty fast.
Yep.
So that's a positive thing to have. All right, Scotty, let's wrap this conversation up. We're already over time. Do you have any final thoughts you want to say?
We ball.
We do ball. So again, he fits, he checks all the boxes, but the return is going to be steep. So be prepared. Let us know what you guys think in the comments.
Yeah, I would love to see just a million mock trades for Kyle Connor when I look in the comments of this. I want to see where everyone else stands on their kind of evaluation of him.
Gotcha. So we'll be back with a new episode tomorrow. Same time, same place. Your team every day.
Every day.